Welcome to Walking Between the Worlds with Almeen. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Welcome to our 13th show in a series of Walking Between the Worlds. To our listeners that have been with us for some time and those of you that are new, today is a very special day because today marks the end of a 13-week period, and our shows are divided into 13 weeks in terms of the categories that they represent. The past 13 weeks, including the one we will do today with a very wonderful guest that I'm so looking forward to speaking to, will have been and will be today on the mystical realms, the realms that have been forgotten, the spirit realms. Today's topic: what is in the lives of our departed ones? What changes await us after death? And then a fascinating glimpse into the life of one who speaks with the dead, who is Sherry Devereaux, that we will have on in a few minutes. I also want to just mention that we have another 13-week block coming up with a different topic. Though all of it is spiritual, but we have in the next 13 weeks spirituality and relationship as our primary theme. And during the next 13 weeks, we will be exploring sexuality as a tool to spirituality. We will look at relationship with ourself and relationship with the infinite. And we will alternate this. Next week, we will begin our series by looking at our relationship with the infinite being that has created all life. We will then, after that, look at relationship with others. We will alternate these two themes week after week after week for another 13-week block. We are very, very grateful to our listeners. Because of you, it makes the show a success, and because the show is a success, we do another 13-week block. So please tell your friends about us if this has been in any way meaningful in your life. Now, I also need to mention something I forget to tell you each week, and we often have requests coming into our offices to ask where the music comes from. And the music is from a CD called An Affair of the Heart. During the next 13 weeks, we'll be playing full songs off of it because it is an interactive week in which you are given some little interactive assignment to do during 2 or 3 minutes of music so that it can be more meaningfully applied in your own lives. But the music on this show and every show we've played and the ones coming up are from a CD called An Affair of the Heart, and to listen to snippets of it, and I believe we may even have a free download that we put on for Mother's Day, is www.almeenandpaul.com, A-L-M-I-N-E-A-N-D-P-A-U-L, almeenandpaul.com, all one word. So you can always go there when you need to hear a little more of what you hear in the background that is being played on these shows. And now we will welcome Sherry Devereaux. And she is such an extraordinary woman, beloved listeners. I'm actually going to have her do most of her introducing. She's a first in many areas. And so, Sherry, are you with us?
I am, Almeen.
All right. Very well, thank you. What a delight to have you on the show. Mm-hmm. I was on Sherry's show not long ago, and I met her wonderful husband. But, my darling, do tell me, you are a first in terms of law enforcement and this particular field. Can you first of all tell us that and also the name of your book and your website? Let's start with the book and the website.
Okay, my website is www.intuitiveeyes.com. The name of my book is called Shadows on My Shift, Real Life Stories of a Psychic EMT. I volunteer with the Phoenix Fire Department as an EMT and a behavior health specialist, and I go out on all of the very traumatic codes. The codes when somebody dies, the stabbings, the shootings, the drownings, domestic violence, death notifications. That is what I get sent out on. It's kind of a hard job.
It is. My goodness, I'm sitting here, my mouth is open. But do you tell us, Sherry, now you recently got some sort of a certification from the law enforcement agency. That is a first. Can you tell us about that?
It is believed that I am the only deputized cold case psychic in the United States.
That is phenomenal. The work, you know, we call it walking between the worlds, but one world is truly entering the other in a much more meaningful way. Now, Sherry, there are some wonderful stories about how this started in your book, but can you share them with our listeners? How did this start for you?
It started when I was young. My parents said that I talked with my great-grandparents who had passed before I was born, and my great-grandmother would tell me stories, and I would repeat them to my mother, and there was no way that I would know these stories because they had not been told to me by her or my grandmother. And so that's how that kind of started. You know, in your teenage years, you kind of run from it. In my 20s and 30s, I was kind of busy raising children. But in my mid-30s, it kind of started coming back again. And I felt very compelled to increase what I had naturally. And so I searched for training. And it was hard to find training. I trained in China. I was the fourth person outside of China to be certified as a Qigong master healer. So I have the abilities to assist someone in healing their injury or illness in about half the time. So I worked with pro sports teams for quite a few years, which is how I got out here to Phoenix. And from there, I decided to continue to volunteer my time, and I found the fire department and their crisis response team, and I volunteered with that. And everybody kept saying, you really need to write these stories down, you know, share these stories with people. And it took me 5 years before I got the courage to write the stories and put it in a book. But the amazing thing is, you know, when you work with spirit, everything happens as it should happen. And when it happens very smoothly, you know you're on the right path. And my book literally more or less wrote itself in a few weeks. I sat down to write a different book, and nothing would come out, nothing. I just sat there staring at a blank computer screen for 3 days. And finally my husband said, you know, just write down some of the stories, and eventually the book that you want will come out. And I said, okay, let me try that one. And so I asked Spirit to just help me, that I was willing to write down anything. And every day I set aside a few hours, and the book literally came out. And it is pretty much published as it came out, chapter by chapter in order, paragraph by paragraph in order. Very little was changed.
In other words, you took dictation somehow.
I did. It wasn't me that wrote it.
My books come out the same way. They come organized into chapters. I just have to clear my mind and sit down. I handwrite all my books, and they come out through my hand in the order exactly how they should be published. We make very few changes.
I knew this was kind of amazing. I am not a typer. I did not
typing
at school. I'm one of those, got to look at the keyboard, one finger on each hand. And when I sat down to write it, all of my fingers were kind of working. So it was kind of amazing. And you know, sometimes when you're in that stream or that flow, you just kind of step back and watch
yes,
what's happening.
Exactly.
And that's what happened with this book.
Now, Sherry, the story of how you trained in the Far East is actually also quite a remarkable one. You did not choose that. They chose you.
They chose me, and to this day I have no idea why I was chosen.
Well, tell our listeners. We have some idea by now. But do tell our listeners.
I had become nationally certified as a massage therapist, and I was getting a lot of junk mail, so to say. You know, people wanted you to join this, buy that, do this once you became nationally certified. And I had gotten amongst the big pile every day was a letter inviting me to China to study at the Olympic Training Center in Beijing to study a form of sports massage called Tuina. And I thought, well, maybe because I volunteered working with International Olympics, maybe my name got chosen. But at that point, just finishing massage school and trying to get a business going, I really did not have the money or the time to take away from a new business to go to China. So I just kind of set it on the pile of, that would be nice, you know, but...
Yes.
And a few days later, I got a call from those people and said, you know, we still have your spot open, but we need to find out yes or no so that somebody else could have that spot if you choose not to. And I explained to them, you know, new business, school debt, not a lot of time or money. And they said, obviously you're not understanding. This is a six-week trip, fully paid for, and you are invited. There is no cost to you unless you want to buy souvenirs.
My goodness.
And I thought, there has to be a catch to it. You know, there has to be something. And I talked with them several times over the next 2 days, and it truly was free. And I said, you know, I can't pass this. I can't. I have to go. I felt so compelled to go. And so I went to China all by myself with 19 other strangers who are all wondering the same things I was wondering. Why were we chosen? How were we chosen? And we could never figure it out during the whole time. The fifth week that we were there, Master Wang Zhuemin came in to teach us Qigong. And Qigong, a lot of people understand Reiki. Qigong is said to be a much stronger form of energy, and that is why it's not taught to just anybody. It's usually taught in the family lineage. And that day, Master Wang was going to teach us how to maintain our own energy, because as a massage therapist, you give a lot, and you're in people's energy field all day long, and it can be very draining if you're not properly trained. And he was going to teach us how to maintain our own energy so that we would stay healthy doing the work we were doing. By the end of that day, he had seen something in me. And through interpreters, they asked if I would stay and continue to train with him. That sixth and final week, they were going to travel by a rickety bus to go see those terracotta statues that they had been digging. And I thought, stay and study with a master energy healer or go see some terracotta statues. So I told everybody, buy me some postcards, take some nice pictures, and I was going to stay and train with Master Wang. But unfortunately, the communication was definitely, I'm thinking maybe Mercury retrograde or something, and it somehow, I thought I was just staying for that 1 week and meeting up with the rest of the crew and coming back to the United States. But I found out the following day when all of my papers came back that I was staying for 3 more months. And it was all free, and I had to scramble to find somebody to take over my business for 3 months.
Well, it sounds like the script was pre-written for sure.
You know, it was, everything just fell into place just as it does when you know you're
in the right thing to do.
You
know, Sherry, may we just take a program break for commercials, and we will be right back. And we are talking today about speaking with the dead. Please join us when we come back. Well, there's supposed to be some grand music playing right about now and a commercial break, and there isn't. So let me continue a little bit more. When we speak of spirits, there it is.
There it is.
We will break for commercial.
Elmine is a globally recognized mystic, seer, healer, and teacher of God consciousness. Her students, masters, discover their personal power by shedding layers of social conditioning while attaining the power of forgiveness, silence, and self-reliance. Explore with Elmine as you're told to guide the mysteries of the cosmos through her series of CDs, books, online magazine, seminars, and workshops. Discover your own personal path to manifestation, ascendancy, and enlightenment by visiting Elmine on the web at www.spiritualjourneys.com. That's www.spiritualjourneys.com. MureyS.com. Reclaim your right to live a life of mystery and magic. Log on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. You've been walking between the worlds with Al Mean. For more information on your own spiritual journey, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Al Mean.
Welcome back, and we are speaking today of death and spirits, and we have with us Sherry Devereaux, who will be featured in every segment of this show, sharing with us what it is like to speak with the dead. We also want to share with you a beautiful piece of poetry that comes from The Prophet by Khalil Gibran on death. We would ask now of death, and he said, "You would know the secret of death, but how shall you find it unless you seek it in the heart of life? The owl whose night-bound eyes are blind unto the day cannot unveil the mystery of light. If you would indeed behold the spirit of death, open your heart wide unto the body of life. For life and death are one, even as the river and the sea are one. In the depths of your hopes and desires lies your silent knowledge of the beyond. And like seeds dreaming beneath the snow, your heart dreams of spring. Trust the dreams, for in them is hidden the gate of eternity. Your fear of death is but the trembling of the shepherd when he stands before the king whose hand is to be laid upon him in honor. Is the shepherd not joyful beneath his trembling, that he shall wear the mark of the king? Yet is he not more mindful of his trembling? For what is it to die but to stand naked in the wind and to melt in the sun? And what is it to cease breathing but to free the breath from its restless tides, that it may rise and expand and seek God unencumbered? Only when you drink from the river of silence shall you indeed sing. And when you have reached the mountain top, then you shall begin to climb. And when the earth shall claim your limbs, then shall you truly dance. It is said by Toltec seers that everything death touches becomes empowered. If there is a near-death experience, if there is a severe illness that could have led to death, or if there is a death in the family, regardless of how death brushes our cheek, we find ourselves changed. Ghosts and spirits are not the same thing, and we need to clarify this. For a ghost is somebody that has chosen not to move to their next level of progression, for one reason or another. And we shall look later at why there are many less ghosts on earth than there used to be. But ghosts, indeed, are those that do not get the spirit status because they remain behind longer than the period has varied as the earth has ascended, but it has generally been about 6 days. They have got 6 days to move through that tunnel into the spirit realms, or they lose that spirit status. And a ghost, for example, has very, very low energy, while the spirits of beings that move through have very much high energy. And I want now for Sherry to tell us her first communication with the dead on the job that she did, which, as she has explained earlier, is as an emergency personnel for very severe calls that come in for people that are either dying or near death. So we will speak to her next, and afterwards we will look exactly in our next segment, what is a spirit? Does the earth have a spirit? Do other planetary bodies have spirits? What happens if they die? So we will look at all of this next. But Sherry, do tell us the first time that you were out on the job and this happened. What happened then?
We had to go and tell a young mother with several children that her husband had decided to commit suicide after an argument that they had. And we went to her house to let her know, and she knew that something was up. He hadn't been home, and it was mid-afternoon, and she had no contact from him, and she just kept saying, I know there's something wrong. So, you know, I have the job of doing death notifications. We went to her house, we informed her of what happened and you know, the least harmful way that we could. And I was the EMT on that call, and the behavior health specialist is the touchy-feely one. They usually get cried on and hand out a lot of tissues. And I'm just there for the medical support in case, you know, they become overwhelmed. So I have a chance to stand back and kind of watch what's going on. And I kept hearing what I thought was somebody talking on a radio in a distant room, but when I would move in that direction, that it would stop. And finally, I heard a very distinctive voice that said, I don't want to die. I'm coming back. And I thought, oh, no. And I got, you know, the cold chills, like air conditioning blowing on me and, you know, the goosebumps on my arms. And I thought, okay, this is too much for me. Let me walk out to our fire department vehicle. And we had an ice chest back there. And I kind of splashed some ice water on my face and tried to recompose myself, and I walked back in. And as soon as I would get near the family pictures hanging on the wall, I would hear him again. And eventually, I was able to calm myself down enough to say, okay, I think I'm ready to listen. Who are you? And he explained that he was the husband and that I was not to inform anyone that he had passed, that he was coming back, that it was all a big mistake. And, you know, the very first time that this happened in such a situation was kind of traumatic on me, too.
I imagine.
And I was eventually able to give some of his information in a form of a story to the wife, and it kind of helped her a little bit. With each call after that, it got a little easier. But that one was still pretty traumatizing, and I still remember that one fairly clear. I mean, I can see the house and the pictures, and I can feel everything immediately when I think about it.
And we need to comment on the way Sherry is explaining how she hears them. There are different ways that one can hear. For example, what she is describing there is clairaudience. I have some of that, and it is increasing rather dramatically. But the point is that the way that I hear is intuitively. I hear it as a thought within my thoughts, sometimes not in English, sometimes in other languages. That is telepathy. She is clearly clairaudient to hear it like a voice that is hard to distinguish from the other people speaking around her. So, Sherry, do tell us one more story. I think we have one before the break. Tell us one more story.
There was an older couple. He had passed away. We were there to help the wife through the trauma, waiting, you know, for the coroner to come. They were high school sweethearts, and World War II came along, and they lost contact with each other. Their 50-year class reunion came, and they met each other again and found that they still deeply loved each other. They both had families and had moved on, but they had both been widowed. So they kind of hooked up again with that 50-year class reunion, and they married, and they'd been married for a few years. And his adult children were not being so nice. And they had said if anything happened to their dad that they were going to kick her out of the house, and she was very worried. They had saved up all of their cash, and he had went to a lawyer that morning, and she went off to play bingo. When she returned home that afternoon, she had found that he had passed away. She didn't know if he had went to the lawyer. She didn't know if he had a will, where it was, who the lawyer was, because they had paid cash so the adult children wouldn't be able to find out. And we were called in, and while the behavior health specialist was dealing with the distraught wife, I had an opportunity to kind of walk around. And I walked over by the gentleman, and I just kind of said, now would be a really good time to talk. If you have anything to say, please tell me where the will is. And in some cases, I hear voices. In other cases, it's pictures or thoughts. It's almost like somebody else's memory. And in this case, he showed me a green book on the shelf in his library where he had put the will. And so, you know, I can't just walk in there, pull the green book out of the shelf of hundreds of books and say, oh, here it is, because that would be kind of traumatizing. And so I make up stories about my friends, my family, my loved ones. And in this case, I said, my husband likes to put important papers in solid color books. You might want to look in red, blue, or maybe green books. Maybe he put it in there. And she said, oh, sometimes he puts stuff in books. And the lady and the behavior health specialist went into their library and they were going through the books. And, you know, I want to stand there and going, you're cold. Oh, you're getting warmer. And so finally they found it. It took them about 15 or 20 minutes. And they were so excited that they had found it. And, you know, everything was left to her. And she was a lot better off. And you can see the healing begin with the messages that I'm able to give, or the different deeds that I'm able to kind of carry through from somebody who has passed. And it kind of helps the person who has passed to move on quicker. Otherwise, I have a feeling he would have probably stayed much past the 6 days trying to get her to look into the green book. And so I'm always thankful that, you know, in some way that I can be helpful. And
it is wonderful because you allow them to bring closure, Sherry. And that is wonderful. And the other message that so clearly is coming through that I'm sure our listeners appreciate is how eternal life is. Please join us. We're going to take a commercial break. And when we come back in the second segment, we will ask her if she's helped solve murders by victims' communications. Thank you.
The book Journey to the Heart of God, Mystical Keys to Immortal Mastery. After 3 months of intense physical preparation, in January 2004, Helmian experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for more than the second time since moving into God consciousness, the state of no longer identifying with ego, in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book has been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like the automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it is transcribed. Few who have entered into God consciousness leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of the immortal master, in addition to continue function among the masses. But as a Toltec, Nagua, and seer, Helmian's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. It is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. These sacred messages gain the true identity of mankind as light beacons of creation and the way shows back to the heart of God. Within this book, some of the mysteries of the cosmos that have plagued seers for eons have been solved for the first time. Never before in the history of any mystery schools have such illuminating revelations challenged everything we thought we knew about the destiny of man. With every fiber of our beings and in the depth of our heart's truth, no matter how profound, can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. To receive a copy of this book, premium CDs, online magazine, workshop, or lecture downloads, go to www.almine.journeys.com or call 502-499-0016.
Ancient source of love and light, the goddess is born to banish the night, to awaken the magic of life and its heart, gladden the heart and thrills to the spell. The long night is over, the dawn has begun, upon the earth the goddess has come. To turn the human that turns the page, and ends the darkness of the bygone age. Form and health and such delight, at the ending of the dark and faithless night. From every kingdom the news resounds.
Goddess reigns. Enjoy that.
You've been walking between the worlds with El Mean. For more information on your own spiritual journey, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to El Mean.
We welcome back at our time, at this time, our listeners and also our guest. But before we take a look at where she has spoken to the dead, where it has assisted her in finding one that has injured another, I wish to share with you an experience that I had, because we can see how spirits yearn to be helpful and what a joy it must be to them to find someone that can hear them, like Sherry Devereaux. But there are contracts made, and in June of 2005, I was sent by the Mother Goddess that births life to the Hall of Contracts that serves as a repository for the contracts made between spirits and humans. And I want to tell you about that experience. As one enters through the door, the vast halls contain the following. On the right wall, row upon row of boxes have the current contracts of spirits assisting humans. The wall straight ahead had all completed contracts. And the wall to the left had all contracts where spirits harmed others on behalf of humans. My task that I was sent there to do was to empty the boxes on the left wall, place the contracts in the empty boxes on the wall in front of me, and seal up the entire left wall. No more would spirits harm on behalf of humans. When a spirit breaks his or her contract, they are incarcerated in a green gel-like substance. In November of 2005, the Mother Goddess proclaimed that all spirits who had been tricked into breaking or making a contract by some sort of self-serving or ill intent be set free. There are other very large changes in the spirit world, but we will talk about that in a little while. Sherry, before you begin and tell us stories that are delightful, can you please tell us one more time the name of your book and your website, because I'm sure folks would want to check it out.
Sure. The name of the book is Shadows on My Shift, Real Life Stories of a Psychic EMT. And my website is www.intuitiveeyes.com.
Great. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Please tell us if there is any instance in which the victim helped identify his murderer.
Yes.
Have you had that?
That, you know, people always ask me, how does that happen? Because some of the cold cases that I've worked are 10, 15, 20 years old. But the memories seem to always linger. And sometimes it's just as simple as a law enforcement agency handing me a file on that case. And as soon as I grab that file, pictures and memories start coming. And they're not my memories. And the best way that I can describe that is, if you're driving down the road and a song comes on the radio that you haven't heard in 10 or 20 years, and you're immediately transported to a specific memory,
yes,
associated with that song, that's what I get. It's a memory associated, though it's not my memory. And what happens is sometimes the victim will actually show me the face of the person. Sometimes I actually see the crime happen. Sometimes it's just a feeling that when I look at some of the suspect's pictures, I immediately know which one it is. But then, of course, you have to go through the whole legal process of interviewing them, and, you know, and a lot of times when I'm in on the interviewing process, what happens is I hear that person's thoughts as they're being interviewed, and what they're saying and what they're thinking don't match. And so I let the law enforcement know that this is, you know, kind of what I'm getting. These are the things that I'm picking up. And it helps them to redirect their questioning. And so far, in the last 6 months, I have helped close 37 cold cases, mostly in the United States, but a few in England and Canada.
My goodness, Sherry, what a wonderful work to be doing.
It's interesting. I'm glad that, you know, I was chosen. I wasn't glad at first.
No, but it's hard work. But to tie up these loose ends and to bring closure is to release energy that insists the that will assist the energy of all that is touching it. The consciousness of everybody raises when resolution comes to portions of life that has illusion.
I watch the families able to finally take that first deep breath.
Yes,
and that's rewarding. I don't get paid for what I do with law enforcement agencies. Every once in a while, they'll buy me lunch, but it's fine. I don't mind. I'm here as, you know, I have one of those contracts that says I'm here to service and be of service, and that's, I'm just trying to honor that.
And Sherry, have you actually had the victim tell you who killed him?
I have in two cases. The victim was very clear, pointing. I don't normally see the people when they die, but in two cases, the victim stood behind the person being questioned and pointed and said, "They killed me." And that's a little disturbing to me still, and it's only happened twice out of the many, many, many cases that I've worked on. Sometimes in a case, I think that the person who has passed has moved on, and they may not have family who's, you know, trying to get closure on this case. So sometimes I get nothing. You know, I don't get something with every single case. But most of the cases I do, probably 80-85% of the cases, I'm able to help out with some information that the law enforcement did not have before that.
So you're saying that sometimes the spirit is just not available to help. And to our listeners, it can be long periods of time, especially where there has been some violence, where the spirit actually needs resting, recovery, and the lessons from what took place. Because, as always, experience is designed to create insight. But there are times when it's like walking in a door and walking out of the door in terms of reincarnation. Many of the spirits have been, because these are very accelerated times, the earth is in an ascension, they have been very eager to come back more rapidly than perhaps previously they would have. And so reincarnation is another issue that would make a spirit unavailable. But I suspect that in the case of murder cases, there are two places that spirits generally go to. It depends how traumatizing it was to them. But they either go into a deep sleep or stasis, during which many healing angels work with this particular spirit, and very, very traumatic torture cases, it would be a long time for the spirit to be fully healed enough. Other times, even people that just die normal deaths go into a school of sorts. They go into a school because they are being prepared for the next life, and they are learning from the life that has been. Or they have completed a set series of tasks, and they are being prepared for a whole other form of service that they will be rendering. Service rendered by spirits is very, very frequent. Can you give me any other example of where you feel a spirit has been most helpful?
There is a young boy named Anthony Armando. He died of a brain aneurysm, and he was 12 years old. We were sent onto that call, and again, I was the EMT on the call. And when I walked in the door, his father looked at me and said, "I know God sent you. I know you're the one that can tell me about my son." And I looked around thinking, oh, no, he can't possibly know. I've kept this a secret for years. And eventually I broke down and I told him, yes, I can communicate with your son. And little Anthony, or little Mondo, as he's called in the book, wanted to be a judge. And he has actually helped me on a few cases while I've been working cold cases. And he's been quite a help. He somehow has attached to me in some way to assist me with some of the cold cases. And he's really quite a great young man to assist me like he's been doing. And I ran into his father a few months after this call, And his father said, can you tell me anything? You know, are you getting anything? And I explained to him about the chocolate cake and the candles and the chocolate frosting and the chocolate sprinkles and the chocolate syrup, and I'm becoming ill because I don't like chocolate. And he sat down and started crying, and he said, today is my son's birthday, and that's the exact type of cake that he always ate.
Oh, my
goodness. And I was able to help the father heal in a few months, where it might have taken him quite a long time, because he was not there when his son passed, because he was a over-the-road truck driver. And we still stay in contact. He still calls every few months, and we still talk, and I still pass messages on. But little Mondo's really been quite a help to me with cold cases, because he wanted to be a judge. And I'm really thankful for his help.
And, you know, what is wonderful is the deep relationships that form when we are confronted with death, like between you and the father. We are now going to take another commercial break, and we will come back for our last segment. Stay with us till then.
Elmeen is a globally recognized mystic, seer, healer, and teacher of God consciousness. Her students, masters, discover their personal power by shedding layers of social conditioning while attaining the power of forgiveness, silence, and self-reliance. Explore with Elmeen as you're told to guide the mysteries of the cosmos through her series of CDs, books, online magazine, seminars, and workshops. Discover your own personal path to manifestation, ascendancy, and enlightenment by visiting Elmeen on the web at www.spiritualjourneys.com. That's www.spiritualjourneys.com. Reclaim your right to live a life of mystery and magic, and log on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. You've been walking between the worlds with Elmeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Elmeen.
Welcome back to Walking Between the Worlds, where we are looking at death, not as an end, but as a beginning. That spirits often return to help if they are able to, for oftentimes they have moved on to do higher things. There also is a series of reincarnations that happen, that where somebody has learned lessons, they come in at a higher level. I had a situation recently where a very dear sister came to me and asked if I could help her mother, who was in front of death, prolong her life. And the answer that I had to give her was, if I prolong the mother's life by healing the disease that stands before her, beckoning her to go into the world of death, where would the baby of her daughter come from, who is to be born 2 years? It is this baby that the mother is, and the mother has to prepare for a new life lived at a higher level. Sherry, we have time for one last quick story. Is there something that stands out on the horizon of all these many cases that you have done?
I think probably some of the unique calls that I've gone on is actually having to tell the person who has passed that they've died. That's a little harder.
That is amazing, yes. Because if it happens suddenly, they will think they're still alive. Please share that with us.
Well, a lot of times when I'm on scene being an emergency medical technician, I'm actually doing CPR on somebody, and I'm doing chest compressions. And there was one call that I remember the first time I'm doing CPR, and I'm hearing the gentleman saying, please stop. Please stop. It's my time. I need to go. And I'm saying, you know, to myself, okay, I can't stop because legally I have to keep doing this.
Yes.
And he's asking me to please stop. And the doctors keep, you know, doing more and more drugs to try to bring him back. And I would feel him kind of fade away, and he would come back into his body. and then the energy would get very strong with me again, and he would step out of his body. So I always knew when he was kind of coming and going. And finally, I just kind of looked at the doctor and said, "Don't you think we should just stop?" And the doctor just kind of looked at me like, "Why would you think we should stop? We're not losing." And finally, they had stopped, and he had thanked me for allowing him to pass. Another instance was when a young teenage boy stole his uncle's truck and hit a palm tree, and he was killed instantly. And I was on that scene, and that young man was very angry. And not all encounters are friendly. This one was very angry and very upset and would not believe me when I told him that he had died. And he would go off somewhere, and then his energy would come back, and he would say, "But my mom can't hear me." I'm like, "You're dead, hon. You're dead. You have passed. You need to look for the light. You need to look for those that are coming to assist you. Go with them." And he didn't want to, and he was very, very angry. And that call actually made me very sick because of the energy. So since then, I have learned how to protect myself at a much higher level from allowing the energies to get to me. But those are always unique calls when you have to tell someone that they're dead instead of telling their loved ones.
Thank you.
A little different.
Thank you very, very, very much for joining us today, Sherry. It's been a delight. And this is Sherry Devereaux, and her book is called, please tell them one more time,
Shadows on My Shift.
Thank you very much. Now we will speak to our listeners about the issue of ghosts. There has been a massive cosmic ascension, as many of the masters that we have had the great, great good fortune to speak to and have on our show during the last 13 weeks have told us. And it is at this time that the Mother Goddess of all life has issued a decree that all ghosts needed to get spirit status. This has been done several times, and in doing it, what happened is that the energy that they tied up at the denser level of existence was released to all of the planet, and it raised the consciousness of those that are embodied. And so at that time, again, the planet raised in consciousness. So this has happened a few times. Are there ghosts there now? I am not entirely sure. I know that if you had asked me a few months ago that I could have unequivocally said, no, there aren't, because the Mother Goddess had let them move through. However, that would not have taken, it would not have affected what we call psychic impressions. And Sherry Devereaux has explained how objects, pictures, and so on still have psychic impressions years after somebody actually passes. So let us take a look at what it is like to be a spirit. Life is very active. I have worked on multiple occasions with spirits. There also has been tremendous changes in the spirit world. The spirit world, until spring of 2005, was in fact divided into two levels. The Egyptians called it Duat as the lower level, and then Sekhet Hepspet was the higher level. It was early in spring in 2005 that the partition between these two were in fact removed. So it speaks in one of the scriptures of Christ visited the spirits in spirit prison during his 3 days that he was in the tomb. And during those 3 days, he actually went to the lower spirit realms, to the area that was called Duat. There were 5 angels: Set-Hampotep, Lu-Murian-Hokepa, Humka, Sumura-El, and Zora-Ed. Those were the 5 angels of the lower levels. And when that veil was open, they were able to move up into the higher frequencies of the highest spirit world, and that was called Sekhet Hepspet. And once again, there were 5 angels there. Now, that is not the only huge change that has happened in the spirit worlds, which means that even if somebody had been, let's say, a murderer, but they have been for eons in spirit prison or Duat, the lower area with more illusion and more duality, they could by now have progressed and now they are able to be at the higher levels, and the progression is able to go much faster. But in order to enter what is, you know, and we've described this many times, the epitome of the human evolution, which is the ascended mastery, spirits had, up until 2005, very little choice but to come back again into physicality, so that in physicality they could become the ascended master by surrendering to the infinite's will and overcoming all of their resistance, just letting the resistance go. As they allowed life to flow through them, they then could become the ascended masters. We had a situation where the ascended realms later in 2005 became available to spirits. There are the most glorious spirits, and I well remember the day. It was in the early summer, I believe, of 2005, where the first four spirits were able to move up into the ascended mastery realm. There was a lord, and we've spoken in the Forgotten Kingdoms, which was an episode that we had a few weeks ago, and those are still available online if you need to go and listen to this. But we had, at that time, spoken about lords as ones that are much overlooked in the work that's done. Spirits help humanity. Angels help humanity. So do lords. The Lord Ratmatorama Atmaset was his name, had guarded that the spirits be kept out of the ascended mastery realms they had to incarnate. And in a day, that veil between them was removed, and our spirits are now free to become ascended masters, which means that they will not reincarnate again, because the cycle of birth and rebirth is not necessary for them, unless there is a very, very specific purpose that it will solve. I want to speak a little bit about this incredible beauty that underlies even tragedy. As we have seen today, even in the face of death, there is a thought of my loved ones, the love that binds people together. And I wanted to read to you The Farewell, the last piece in the book The Prophet by the Lebanese poet Khalil Gibran. He says, he speaks of how his spirit has wandered through the homes of those that he loved. Less hasty am I than the wind, yet I must go. We wanderers, ever seeking the lonelier way, begin no day where we have ended another day. And no sunrise finds us where sunset left us. Even while the earth sleeps, we travel. Spirits, incidentally, do not sleep. We are the seeds of the tenacious plant, and it is in our ripeness and our fullness of heart that we are given to the wind and are scattered. Brief were my days among you, and briefer still the words I have spoken. But should my voice fade in your ears, and my love vanish in your memory, then I will come again, and with a richer heart and lips more yielding to the Spirit will I speak. Yea, I shall return with the tide, and though death may hide me, the greater silence enfold me, yet again will I seek your understanding. Beloved ones, thank you for having shared 13 weeks of looking at various kingdoms unseen to most. Next week we begin a brand new series of relationship with self and others and the spiritual principles underlying them. My love to you always, and my gratitude to you for joining me as a family of light. Until next week.